pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm not going to talk to you about killing the Easter Bunny. I think I've already beaten that one to death. I'm going to talk to you about the reading that we just heard from the Gospel of Luke about the Jesus and the two disciples on the Emmaus Road. And I'd like to talk to you. I'm sure you noticed the importance of the word stranger in that reading. Luke very intentionally draws our attention to the word stranger. Are you the only stranger? They said. And not by accident. So I'd like to talk to you about the reality, the reality of Jesus as the stranger. So here's a story. I've told you before, but I'm going to tell it to you again because it illustrates, I think, something of what Luke is trying to say about Christ as the stranger, and what it means to encounter him as a stranger. Anyway, I've told you this before. But as I've confessed in the past, I have a little bit of problems with flying. And my problem is not that I think the plane is going to fall down. That is highly unlikely. My problem is that has anybody noticed that the seating in the planes is getting smaller over the years? I remember like I was flying back in 1967 or something, and I feel in comparison like I had a whole apartment to myself, and they serve you steak, and it was a very different experience. Gotten very small, and I don't like to be in enclosed spaces. That's my thing, right? I guess they've done studies on people from the prairies, and we like a lot of physical space, right? Apparently. So this, I do not like that part of it. And so we're on the plane. I was probably flying out to Comox to see my wife's family. And where would you like to put somebody who does not like enclosed spaces if there's three seats? Put them in the middle, right? That's a really good idea. So they put me in the middle seat. And I'm okay because I'm there in the middle seat by myself. I think actually my wife and daughter were in another row. I'm there in the middle seat by myself. Okay. This guy starts to come down the aisle, and I don't know if he's a, you know, World Federation wrestler or something, but this guy is big. Like, he is a large, physically imposing guy. And I look at him coming down the aisle, and I say, Lord, if you've never done anything before I ever do anything again, do not let this guy sit beside me. Which, of course, he does. He comes and sits beside me, right? And I'm going, this flight is not going to go well for me. And then he starts to talk to me. And he's a ranger in the Northwest Territories. I don't know if you know anything about that, but they're kind of like the militia that guards the Northwest Territories. Soldier. And he starts to talk to me. And so he starts to tell me how he has, in his past as a soldier, being in Bosnia, Rwanda, and Afghanistan. And he says to me, I didn't realize I had post-traumatic stress disorder till I was in Afghanistan. Because I don't need to tell people about seeing horrible things. I know that in this community. But he's seen horrible things, and he didn't realize how traumatized he's been. He starts to talk to me, and he starts to open up to me. Then he has, you know, and his interesting things to say, but also just needs to talk. And at the end, he says to me, you're a priest. He says, here's what you need to do. If you end up talking to any soldiers who have been in these kind of situations, here's what you need to do. You need to let them tell the same story over and over and over again. Just listen, let them tell it over and over and over again. And I felt like you never know with these things, right? I have to be careful not to over-spiritualize things. But I kind of felt like the fact that he, a traumatized soldier, ended up sitting beside me, a priest, terrified, claustrophobic priest in the middle seat, was not an accident. I kind of felt like, oh, okay, that's something that God in his providence somehow had in mind, although it is something I did not want. So Archbishop Rowan Williams, who I love and sometimes understand, has this theme in his writing. He's one of our great teachers. He was former Archbishop of Canterbury, one of our great teachers. And his theme in his writings, and the theme is Christ the Stranger, right? And I'm reading this, and I'm going, yeah, Christ the Stranger. I know what he's talking about. He's talking about hospitality and, you know, how central the idea of hospitality is to morality in the Bible, which is true, and how important it is that we be hospitable and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. I've got this thing worked into my mind, what he's going to say before I've even read about it. And I look it up, and I'm going, it's kind of what he's talking about. He's kind of talking about something else, though, too, about Christ as the stranger. And it's this. What are strangers? Okay, they're people we don't know, right? Strangers are people we don't know. Strangers are people that we encounter often when we haven't chosen to do that. They just kind of appear in our lives. There are people that are mysterious to us in the sense we don't know. We don't know what they're going to be like, right? I don't know this guy that I'm meeting on the plane. I don't know what he's going to be like. We don't know how they think. We don't know how they feel. We don't know what they're going to say. We don't know what their lives have been like. We don't know anything about them, really. They're strangers. And the other thing we can say about them, and I don't mean this in a, well, whatever, they're disruptive. Strangers are disruptive to us because we're encountering something new and something unexpected and something that we don't understand. So I'm encountering this guy on the plane and he is disruptive to me. So Jesus, I'd like you to notice the way Jesus behaves on the road to Emmaus with his two disciples that don't recognize him. He's not all that nice. Let's just put it this way. He's not all that nice. You know, he comes up and walks beside these two, maybe a man and a woman actually, but between these two people. And they're going, oh man, you're a stranger. Okay, well, whatever. You don't know anything. And, you know, we're in pieces here, man. You know, our leader, we thought he was going to be great. And look at, you know, all our hopes are dashed. We're hearing some strange rumors about things that don't make any sense. Our hopes are dashed, and we don't know what to make of it, and it's awful. And he just has no sympathy whatsoever. In fact, what he does is he castigates them. He says, have you guys ever opened a Bible? You know, do you own one? Well, they wouldn't have owned one. It's first century. But anyway, have you ever opened a Bible? Do you have any idea how to interpret a Bible? Like, what is wrong with you? Like, he's not that fantastically polite. And then he gives them an unasked for Bible study, right? About the Messiah. And at the end, when he's leaving them, he's not even all that polite at that point because he's just going to, they've been talking all this time, and he's just kind of going to go on, right? Keep on walking. And they have to say, come on here, let's, you know, we live in the Middle East. Let's have a little Middle Eastern hospitality here, right? Come on. And he goes, oh, okay, whatever. So you notice about him that he is disruptive. He's a little disruptive. And the word, Luke's use of the word stranger implies, as Archbishop Williams says, the disruptiveness of strangers. And it's true. Not polite to say, but it's true. Not expected, not asked for, and, you know, I'm just cruising along here, and then this happens. Did you ever notice, when you open up the Bible, that sometimes it's not exactly what you want. And sometimes it's a little disruptive. And sometimes it's confusing and it's annoying and there are parts of it that you don't like. There are, 23rd Psalm is great. Book of Revelation, I don't know about, Beatitudes are fine. Book of Jeremiah, not so sure about, right? Parts of Ezekiel, has he lost his mind? You know, it's disruptive. The Bible is disruptive to read sometimes because it's not the God that we have in our minds necessarily. It's this God who is a little unpredictable that we have to deal with when we're reading the pages. Ever notice that when you pray, maybe it's just me, when you pray, sometimes when you expect to be comforted in prayer, you're confronted. And sometimes when you think you're going to be confronted in prayer, you're comforted. It's disruptive. And so Rowan Williams' point is, Christ is a stranger in this way. He comes to us, he reveals himself to us, we know him, but there's a part of him which is mysterious and uncontainable. And let's just put it this way, full of surprises, right? So what's the advantage of dealing with strangers, of having strangers, accommodating strangers in our lives, of dealing with new things in general? Well, if we just deal with things that are comfortable and familiar all the time, what happens? You never really have to grow up, let's put it that way. Or you never really have to grow up as a Christian, right? There's this thing the ancient desert fathers talked about called acedia, which is all good here, man. You know, Lord, I've reached my present level of spiritual maturity. I'm good. I don't need any further input. I'm very comfortable where I am. You know, try praying that prayer. Lord, I'm good where I am, right? Christ the stranger always appears. He's disruptive, he's comforting, he's all these things, and he is unpredictable in a way that always leads us to grow more. So how does the story end? Well, my story ends with this guy saying to me, here's what I think you should do, and me leaving going, I'm really glad I had that experience. How does this story end? They encounter a stranger that they hadn't wanted to encounter. He tells them things they don't want to do. And then at the end, they experience Jesus in a way that they never experienced him before in the Eucharist. And it was infinitely more than they can ask or imagine. Nobody knew Jesus was going to start showing up in the Eucharist because there wasn't a Eucharist before now. But suddenly, this whole new world ends up. So, let us put ourselves at the risk of opening our Bibles and reading the parts we don't like. Encountering Christ the stranger and reading the Bible in that way. Let us put ourselves at the risk of opening our hands in prayer and saying, God, what would you like to say to me? Things I want to hear, things I don't want to hear. Let us put ourselves at the risk of encountering strangers, you know? I mean, of course, in a safe way, I don't mean that. And that people, you know, that we don't know and that might be miraculous for us to experience. And let us remember that Christ comes to us as the stranger and he simply asks us to welcome, as they did, welcome him and encounter something, again, infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, you are the source of all things. You come to us, you condescend to us, and make yourself known to us in ways that we can understand. But we know that we can never grasp you, as kind as you are to us, that we can never grasp you, that you are an infinite mystery. Thank you for coming to us in the ways that you do, and help us to continue to stand in awe of expectation, of your continual revealing of yourself to us and our growth in you. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.